What are you doing? All of a sudden this morning, I'll tell you two things. All of a sudden this morning, I see a pop bottle with the old pop type lid, right? And I see pop bottle, and then the opener comes pop, and you know, fizz comes out and all this kind of stuff. And what the Lord says for you today is he's taken off the lid so that what's already inside can start to come out. That's what he's up to in the spirit. And then a bit later on, my attention got drawn over to the door here, and what I see is a string of people coming in, all being drawn along by this white cord. And it was like the Lord was saying, I'm going to bring in the people. I'm drawing them in with his, you know, with his white, with his holiness and what he's up to. So I just give you that here in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So for a few minutes at least, and then I hope I can get some questions in at the end, if you have any, I'm going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. Because this is where this is all going, really, is that we are free in the Holy Spirit. If you are a born-again Christian, Jesus came into you, and you got Jesus, and then you get baptized in the Spirit, Jesus gets you. Like, that's what it's about. He gets all of you. And then you want what he's doing to work in you and come out through you, right? That's what this is about. That's the pop bottle's lid popping off. And you find out and you learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, open our hearts and minds today that we might learn to be led. And learn how you are speaking to us already. Because if he's already inside there, then you know he's talking already, right? A lot of times it's just a matter of recognizing that he's talking. Let me give you an example. Last night we were at the campground, and Karen's texting with my sister, who's with my dad. Dad's back home. He's not doing well. Remember, he got saved from death, a heart attack there a month or two ago. But he's been declining. But that gave an opportunity for us family to gather with him and everything. And now he's pretty much lost his memories. And, you know, he's just going down. And I think he'll soon be with the Lord. But, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm focused on Dad and hearing what Karen's saying from the text going back and forth with my sister. Suddenly into my mind comes, if this tent we live in is destroyed, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the Apostle Paul. Now, my mind was not on the Bible. It was not on that. It was on Dad. So where did that come from? That came from the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit leads you like that. The thing is, do you recognize when the Holy Spirit's leading and speaking? I had to learn how to recognize it. And learn. How do I know that was the Lord? Well, first of all, it's Bible. It applies to the situation. Secondly, it didn't come from something I was thinking. I had a thought I know I didn't think. Does that make sense? And it applied to the situation. The Lord was speaking. And so, you know, I put the text in. We sent it back and it went out to the whole family. You know, it's the Word of God. It's hope for the family. You understand what I'm saying? So my sister said she's going to read it to Dad today. So now let's look at this. We're going to get into a couple of the scriptures here. About being led by the Spirit. Is that up there? Okay. Here we go. Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus. Now, that's up in Syria. That's not part of Israel. So that if he found any there belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell down to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, said Ananias, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to his holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest everyone calling on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Man, there's a whole lot of supernatural stuff going on in there. Here's, you know, Christ coming to Saul in a flash of light and the voice saying, why are you persecuting me? Here he goes blind. There's a sign involved with that. Here he's seeking the Lord and fasting for 3 days. And he's been told in another vision this man Ananias would come. And then here's Ananias, who's, it says, a disciple, has the Lord speak to him in a vision. And then he goes and lays hands on Saul, and he's receives a sight and gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, gets baptized in water. Now, here's the interesting thing. We have in the book of Acts lots of stories about apostles and prophets and all of this, and it doesn't say that Ananias was any of those. It says he's a disciple. He's not one of the 12. He's not, he's a disciple. He's like you or me or anybody. He's a Christian in Damascus. And suddenly the Lord uses him. And here's three things that take place. One is he calls his name. Basically, Ananias says, here I am, Lord. It's like Samuel, you know, back in the Old Testament, Samuel when he's a little child, and Eli's the priest, and the Lord calls one night, Samuel, Samuel, and he runs to Eli and says, yes, Eli, I'm here. And he has to do that a couple times till Eli figures out this must be the Lord. And then he says, here I am, Lord. First step, we say, here I am, Lord. We're asking, we're willing, we're receiving. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Here I am, Lord. Second thing that happens is he listens to what God says. Isn't that right? He's listening to what God says to him in the vision this time, but it may be a word because you can have things come to you in a vision. You could have things. I get visions that are like kind of like mind's eye picture visions most of the time, sometimes really right there, and sometimes dreams. But he's saying, secondly, yes, Lord, and he's paying attention, and the Lord tells him what. And then after some discussion and argument, he says, I will obey, Lord, and he goes and does it. How important is that? You see, a lot of times that we as believers have got the first step, and we didn't recognize it was God, so we left it off. Or maybe we got to the second step, and we started talking about it. I can't do that, and we never thought we could talk with God. But you know, you can have a discussion with God. The whole point of this is you pursue a relationship with Christ that is such a relationship that he's actually your friend, and you can have discussions with him, and he'll speak back to you, and you can reason with him. He'll give you understanding, but there's times then when he says, go and do what I told you to do. And I've had all that stuff happen lots of times, and I had to learn it the hard way sometimes, being disobedient, being rebuked by God. How do you know when God is speaking to you? If he rebukes you thoroughly, man, that wasn't me. That wasn't the devil. He doesn't want me to be holy and do the right thing. That's God, you know. So there it is. Wow. And all of this is happening. I remember, well, here, I'll tell a different story. I've got too many stories I could tell. But why am I here at the Vineyard? Here's a story around this. Why am I here at the Vineyard? I've pastored for 27 years. We had quite an outpouring and revival back in the 90s at the Foursquare Church. Then I began traveling the nations. You know, I mean, I've ministered to leaders and prophesied over nations. We've interceded and prayed and see, you know, and then the Lord's pulling me back in. And here's what happened. About 5 years ago, I'm heading up to the dump with a load of junk. And I come back down the hill here, and the Holy Spirit says to me as I'm coming down in the truck, stop in and visit Barry. Now, Barry and Dancy, and we've known each other. When I came here and pastored, they were in our church, so that's like 30 years we've known each other. And now I could have just said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm busy. I got something else to do. And then you miss what God's doing. You want to be led by the Lord. You say, yes, sir, I'm going to do what you said. So I come in, and we have a great visit. It was really nice. And nothing significant in the visit other than it was a nice visit, you know. And then on Sunday morning, Karen couldn't come. We were going up to the Pentecostal church at that time because Adam was being a youth minister up there, my son Adam. And then, so anyway, Karen couldn't come to church. And the Holy Spirit says to me in the morning, go over to the Vineyard Church. Okay, I'll go over to the Vineyard Church. So I come over here to church, and it wasn't nearly as full as this. I'm here early, so I go in to see Barry. I don't know if you remember this, but I come in to see Barry in the office, and he said, hi. And he said, yeah, I'm busy working on something, Terry. I don't have time to pray with the worship team. Why don't you go in the kitchen and pray with the worship team? Okay, I'll go. I get into the kitchen to pray with the worship team. And there's a bunch of people I know, like, Jerry Jean and Mark and some others I already know. So we start to pray. Holy Spirit just falls on me, man. And all of a sudden, I'm loaded up with all this prophetic words, and I start going around the team and laying hands on them. And, you know, and you go, well, is that kind of presumptuous or what? Well, I'm sorry. God just dumped it on me. What am I supposed to do with it? Say no, God? And I knew everybody anyway. So, and you know what? It started. Something started cranking up. And I felt God saying, go back, go back, go back, go back. And I kept coming back. And I keep coming here, and the Holy Spirit keep giving me prophetic words. Now, I know that when I give prophetic words, there's an anointing to release those things. And it was always words about what God wanted to do in the church and the things he wanted to equip people with and what he wanted to do with Barry. And here's where it came in. I started arguing with God. I started arguing with God. God, I you know, it's funny how you feel like, I feel timid. I can't do this. I shouldn't do this. I feel intimidated. You know, what is all that? You know, I've been doing this ministry. Well, it's because it's local and we got history and all, you know, all this stuff. And I'm arguing with God about it. And many Sundays, you see what happens to me sometimes, I'll sit there and sit on it. And the more I sit on it, it's like I've got the engine running and God stomps down on the accelerator, but it's not in gear. You know, boy, this thing's got to get out. You know, and the Lord rebukes me and he says, do what I'm telling you to do. And if I do it, stuff comes out of it, you know. So now, you know, I mean, this is the ministry I've had for decades and decades in the church, recognized, that sort of thing. So that level's okay. It's been proven out and everything else. But what I'm telling you is there's so much discussion goes on in the relationship with God. There's so much interaction. There's so much learning. But you start when that lid gets popped off the pop bottle and it starts coming out. If you want that, you say, Lord, pop off the lid. I take, you know, I'm going to just say it right now. God, I want the lid popped off. You know? And then you say, I'm willing to listen, I will listen. Say it. Lord, I'll listen. And I will obey. Okay, then you got to sort out stuff, because how do you know if it's God sometimes or last night's pizza or just you? You know, I want to be recognized. That's one of the problems. I want to be recognized. I want people to see me up front and all that. And when the Lord started doing this to me, I tell you what, I was a person that was timid, and I didn't want to be doing it. And he would do that. So you ask the Lord, you expect the Lord to lead, you ask the Lord to lead you, expect the Lord to lead you, obey what he does when he leads you. And you know, faith never knows, really, faith never knows where it's being led, but it knows the one leading. See, that's the key. You can't put this stuff into a conceptual box. There's principles around it and how God works and how we work, but you know the one leading. Now, John, in the book of John, let me just flip here to John 16, verse 12. I don't think I gave that back there, John 16. Let's go. Here's the promises of the Lord, a couple of them, about what would happen. He said, I have many things to say to you. You cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. So the Holy Spirit's going to speak. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He's going to speak what he hears from the Father and from Jesus to you. Okay? He will declare the things that are come. Some of what he speaks will be, is it up there? Yeah, I didn't give him the scripture ahead of time on that one. And he will glorify me. So he's going to speak things that are to come. He's going to speak things that are from the Father and Jesus. He's going to reveal those things, and they will give glory to the Lord. You can tell when it's God, when all those things are happening, and all that's happening. When it's the glory is going to Jesus, not to yourself. And you get led by the Lord. How are we doing on my time here? Oh, my watch turned upside down. Looked like I had another half an hour. I was in Regina one time, and I was preaching at a church there at a conference. And during lunchtime, I went for a walk. It was a downtown church. I went for a walk around the block. And as I'm going by, on the other side of the street, there's this occult bookstore. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me and says, go into the bookstore and talk to the person in there. And I'm kind of going, I don't want to go to an occult bookstore. And I thought, okay, Lord. And I went in there, and who was there was this young mom with her baby. And I began to share my testimony with her and chatted a bit because I'd been involved as a teenager in the occult. I started to share about Jesus with her. Well, man, she starts bawling her eyes out and sobbing and weeping, and I'm just, you know, trying to lead her to Christ right then. She's ready to receive Christ, and she's so intimidated with fear by her mom, who, you know, it's her mom's bookstore and all this stuff the mom's into with witchcraft and all that other stuff. She just couldn't get past that to finally give her life to the Lord. But I think, and there's seed sown. I was sorry that she'd never done, couldn't take the extra step. But you don't know what's going to happen when you follow up those things. You just follow them up. I didn't know who I'd meet in there. Had no idea. And these things are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in the last number of weeks, we've heard, you know, the Converge series and talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, discernment of spirits. What are those things? Well, you know, a word of wisdom is basically God's telling you what to do. Or, you know, word of knowledge is he's telling you the situation, what's going on. A prophecy is the Lord, you speak out those things that God's given you. We've already heard a bunch of them this morning. And discernment of spirits, he shows you what spirit is at work. Remember when I first went to my church in Bermuda, the first day we're there and we're meeting people. You know, they're coming to the door and greeting us. Here comes a man, one of the elders from one of the churches there. And I'm greeting him, nice guy, shaking hands with him. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, be careful of this man. He has the spirit of a scorpion. Good to meet you. So I just was careful. And sure enough, over the next couple of years, it proved out that there was that tendency inside of him that could strike out all of a sudden. And I just had steered clear of it, never saw him free of it or anything. But, you know, you listen to those things, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Karen has a gift of words of knowledge very often. I remember one unique time, just so many stories, but she was looking for a pair of shoes. Megan had to have the high-top runners for her orthotic to fit in when she was little. And we're over at Fields, or she went over to Fields, I wasn't there, and went to their place, and there was nothing that fit, there was nothing there, and all of that. And she said, oh, God, I need these shoes. What am I going to do? All of a sudden came to her mind, the Lord says, go back to the back of the store, there's a clearance bin. If you dig down to the bottom, the shoes are there. So she goes back to the back of the store, there's the clearance bin, not usually there, digs to the bottom, there's the shoes she needed. You see, this is a relationship. You pursue the relationship, then things happen. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. You're being led by the Spirit, asking, Lord, I want to, Lord, show me things, reveal things to me. I want to have this relationship. You pursue a relationship, and in relationship, there's talking and getting to know somebody, and you're talking back and forth. And then there's asking, there's expecting that you're going to hear. So there's faith involved here. And then there's obedience when you hear, you know. And sometimes fear can get the better of you and stop. In church, that'll happen often. When I was a pastor, you know, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me something that interrupts the whole schedule that we planned out for church. And Barry probably knows what that's like too. I'm wrestling. This is throwing everything. Is this really you, God? I've got to change everything all of a sudden. What if you don't come? What if you don't do what I want to do? And I'd have to, are you going to do what I want or not? I would go home from church if I didn't do what I heard, kicking myself because I'd missed what God might have done. And so lots of times, you know, you go forward anyway. And that happens in every kind of realm. You're called by the Lord to be led by the Spirit. Here, let's go to Acts 8 and read that one. These great stories. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, you can read it with me, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, who's the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and the Holy Spirit, told Philip, go up to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up alongside the chariot and could hear the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. And so he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers was silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And so the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is this himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? So he gave orders to stop the chariot. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again and went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, and I like the other translation, says, found himself in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all those towns till he reached Caesarea. I think that's 70 miles, is it? You ever look? 70 miles. What is this about? Philip, if you check back a couple of chapters, you find out Philip waits on tables. He's not anything special until God uses him, and he does what the Lord says. Who was he? Well, we find out the apostles in the first church were getting away from preaching the word and prayer, and they're having to worry about all the widows that were coming in and maybe trying to get them food and, you know, all the stuff that was going on. The church was exploding. And finally they said, this is not right that we're waiting on tables while we should be praying and preaching the gospel. So he says to the church, you guys, you pick out seven men that are full of the Holy Spirit and of good reputation, and we'll appoint them to this task. And Philip was one of them. So here's Philip. He's a deacon. That's the first deacons. He's a table. He's a waiter in the church. He's like you guys that come up here and faithfully go out the kitchen or cook, or you're putting out the food or whatever. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he's appointed by the apostles to do. And then God starts doing stuff with him. He laid hands on him, of course, when they appointed them. They're already filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit starts saying, you know, here, you're serving this widow lady, man. She's got a lame leg. Pray for her. Pray for her. Boom. Oh, my leg. It's great. It's well. I'm healed. I'm healed, you know. And so Philip is just following the lead of the Holy Spirit, doing stuff. And God's boom, boom, miracles, signs and wonders, kaboom. Pretty soon he finds himself, he's out preaching. And then Stephen is killed, and the church gets persecuted, and the people in Jerusalem go out to the countryside. And that's where Philip is, preaching the gospel. And so one day he's on this road, and he hears, what was it first? The voice of an angel. Angel of the Lord says, go down to the road, such and such a road. He gets down there and he sees this chariot. Oh, isn't that interesting? Look, it's the official royal chariot with all the, you know, where's it? The royal chariot right going along there. The Holy Spirit says to him now, first an angel says, now the Holy Spirit says to him, go up alongside the chariot. Probably you wouldn't normally approach a royal chariot going along with the guards. Is that right? But he does, and he starts running along, and he just does what seems logical to do next in following Jesus. He hears him talking about it, and then he explains it out, and he gets saved. And, you know, the Ethiopians, there's a huge tradition of the church, the gospel all going down into Africa, into Ethiopia, because of this story, because of the guy that waits on tables and got led by the Holy Spirit and found himself doing miracles. Now, I'm telling you, this is not outside the realm of possibilities for here at the Campbell River Vineyard. There's nothing that says you can't do this. All that says we can't do this is that we're not saying, yes, sir, I want you to speak to me, and I'm got faith to hear you, and I'll do what you tell me. That's it. That's it. The angel speaks, he's a voice outside. Holy Spirit speaks, it's a voice inside. Sometimes when he leads, you get a vision. Sometimes when he leads, you have a thought. Sometimes when he leads, you have an impression deep in your heart, just a knowing. But you can test them out, and that's a whole other subject. And you can discern out and test out and learn that you're hearing the voice of the Lord. And then you step out on it, and God's with you to do things that are amazing. I've seen tons of stuff happen over the years, healings and miracles and people saved, and just stepping out in ways I didn't expect. I remember one conference we're at, and we're praying for a lady that's in the wheelchair, and she has MS. And every time we pray for her, she's going, ow, 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 ow. And I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong here? She's got a demon? No, I don't think. I don't know what to do. So I said to everybody, just leave her and bless her and love on her. And I walked away and said, God, what is going on? We're trying to pray, and she's getting ow, ow, ow. And the Holy Spirit says, don't take her hand and tell her to stand up and walk. All right, hadn't told that. So I go over and I take her hand and say, stand up and walk with me. She gets up out of the chair and starts to walk. Next day, she's going up and down flights of stairs. No more wheelchair. You know, and came because the Holy Spirit told me what to do. And you go, wow. So here we go. You look for the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to speak to you every day. You got a relationship. You spend time with him. I mean, how can somebody lead you if you don't pay attention to them? Isn't that right? You spend time with him, and you expect that he's going to show you things and lead you. And then when he does, you follow. And he knows that we will blow it and make mistakes. We all do. And then we'll grow, too, because we're going to grow in grace and truth. We're going to grow in it, and he gives us something more. Sometimes he gives us things that are like, God, I can't do that. And then we just take step by step, like a child learning, and we learn to hearken to his voice. We abide in him, we hearken his voice, and walk in it, and then we'll see the leading of the Lord take place. Praise God. So I got to take maybe 5 minutes or whatever we got here, and I felt they have some question and answers at the end here, because I believe what's happening is, you know, many of you, you're hearing things from the Lord, maybe you don't know it's him. And so you kind of stew and wrestle and wonder and walk away from it, and you don't see him answer, so. Anyway, any questions, any thoughts about that? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank you for that word. And you notice that this is a word to the church. This is not to unbelievers. This is Jesus speaking to a church, right? And he does rebuke us sometimes. I remember way in my early days of ministry, I went to somebody's house to visit in the church, and the Lord started speaking to me and said, when you're done, I would always pray with people, and I'd say, when you're done, kneel down and pray with them. And for some reason, fear, that's been one of my biggest deals. I was afraid to do it. I was afraid, and so I prayed with him, but he didn't kneel down. And I left, and I got out into my car, and I remember putting the key in the ignition to start it. The Holy Spirit says to me in a loud voice, how long will you go on disobeying me? I was back in that house and repented to him, and we kneeled down to pray. Oh, my gosh. You know, so, yeah, be zealous and repent. Stuff happens. Any other questions? Oh, yeah.
Within the church, you talked about the word
Oh, okay. So Barry's question is, how if you're being in a church service, being led, and the Lord seems to be interrupting what was going on or planned, and how do you work that out with the authority structure and everything? Well, here's what I got to say about that. One is, like, Barry and Nancy are the set people who have the authority in the Lord here. That's the plan of God, okay? So if there's something urgent comes up, you see me once in a while come up and I'll talk to Barry, right? Why am I doing that? You know, if it's during worship and there's a beautiful prophetic word and I got it, I'll say it out. But if there's something else, you know, that might shift what happens, say, at the end of the message or anything, I'll come up and I'll tell Barry. This is what God's showing me right now. And it's for him. Now, if we're going to go with it, that's great. If not, he's got... Now, see, here's the other thing. We've prayed together, Barry and I, one of the things I've done with Barry is laid hands on him and said, Lord, we pray for the wisdom of God, the gift of the words of wisdom and knowledge from you. So he knows what to do at those times or any other time. He knows what to do. You know, I don't have a lot of wisdom. Sometimes I've blown a lot of things up because, you know, you can do stuff at the wrong time at the wrong place and it doesn't take. It just goes, right? So I submit to Barry. You know, I want to exercise my ministry, but I'm not the pastor in charge. I've spent 27 years as pastor in charge. I know what it's like. And you try to have grace all around. There's been a few times where people had words that were so off the wall and so going away from God, I had to say something right then from the pulpit because I didn't want everybody soaking it up. You know, and that's hard. And you got to do that. So, yeah. And Barry, and now Nancy with the thing. And I totally respect that. I look and say, you're the set people. God's appointed you. That's not my... I know what my ministry is. And I've got a ministry, really, it's relating to Canada more than anything now, and the radio here in Campbell River. And I know what their ministry is. It's for here and for us. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is going to give them step-by-step instruction. And I pray for that. See, I bless them. If I had something and Barry says, no, not now, I don't go away all with my nose out of joint. I'm going, okay, well, Lord, whatever. See, because it's God's word. It's not mine. If it was from the Lord, it's not mine. It's God. It's God's church. Barry's the leader. He's sitting there. What am I going to stress over? It's not me. Yeah, and the Lord could talk to him. And the Lord does talk to you. You know, that's, you know, so we got, and it's freedom. See, this is love and freedom. That's the thing. The whole thing, the gears are greased with the love of God all the time. That's how we keep from being offended. That's how when we make mistakes, we can feel free, be forgiven. The worst thing that can happen is you step out, it all falls apart, you feel upset or you feel messed up or you feel, oh, I'm never going to do that again. And then you don't try to follow the Lord. That's terrible. You know, I could tell you story after story of the weird things I went through in the early years trying to sort out, was that really God, you know? And no, love, the love for one another, the love that comes from God, and it's free. You know, it's freedom. We just have great freedom in the Lord. Well, grace and love. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We didn't, you know, did we read that Romans passage? I don't think we did. Put the Romans one up there for a second. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on what the flesh desires. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. That's, you know, if you're going by law, can't submit the law. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, or children of God. There it is. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You're being led. Now, here's the thing. The law is dealing with the flesh and the sins of the flesh. You can't mortify the flesh by the law. The law points out, as Paul says, basically says, here's the problem. But it says when we walk by the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's a different verse, but it's there. And if by the Spirit you put, verse 13, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the sins of the body, you'll live. So that's how you walk. It's freedom. It's freedom. But the freedom of the Spirit will always take you to the place of where you're justified and where the law agrees. And some people get weird. I remember one story way back, you know. I've run into this a couple of times. Here's this woman wants free for her husband and thinks the Holy Spirit's telling her to leave her husband and go and marry somebody else. No way. You know, that's, how do you know it's not true? Because the law tells you it's not true, but if she really heard from the Holy Spirit will agree and she'll be in compassion and prayer for her husband. You understand what I'm getting at? And I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is that's what he says. You know? You might be praying over lying on your income tax. Man, if they just didn't know, think of all the extra money I could have for the gospel. Well, listen, was it Jesus said? Give to the government what's due to the government. Give to God what's due to God. You know? So which one are you going to do? You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you there. That's one of the, you know, you test it like that. You can test it with the word. But it's not, we don't live by the law. We live by the Spirit. And the Spirit will bring us into a life that's agreeing with the things that are written in the Word. Okay, one more. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you can get into a fast where you're grinding along and trying to make it do yourself, and it's like a carnal fast or something. I don't know. It's hard. And other times you can fast and it's just free. Yeah. But here's the thing. See, Jesus said to the disciples, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. You know, because a friend knows, you know, what the master's doing. Jesus tells us what he wants to do and what he's doing. He wants to reveal things to us. And then in I think it's Romans somewhere, Paul says, so then, friendship with God has been restored by the sacrifice of Christ. Friendship. So you're called into a friendship with the Lord. It's the most amazing thing in the world. What do you do if you're a friend with someone? Just think of it like that. You spend time with them. You talk with them. You listen to them. You want to hear their heart. Many times I'll go out for a walk with the Lord, and I'll say, I don't have any agenda, God. I just want to hear your heart. I want to spend time, and I spend a lot of time just worshiping God, praising God, speaking in tongues. Tongues, man, it's the best thing I ever had, you know, other than, you know, Karen, basically, God gave me Karen. So I praise the Lord for my wife, but other than it being saved, I'm going, the gift of tongues is the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's another thing. But it's friendship with God. You can be a friend of the Lord. Think of the people in the Bible who were friends with God. It talked about Abraham. He was a friend of God. Spending time with God. Interested in what God thinks. What does God feel for the church? What does God feel for all the stupid stuff going on in our nation right now? I spend time with the Lord and said, Lord, talk to me. What are you feeling right now? You wouldn't believe how much the Lord grieves and weeps over things that are happening. And then once in a while I run into something that where he gets upset and angry about it. And surprising to me. And he would share it. And I find myself also weeping and crying and crying out and praying for the mercy of God. You know, it's I don't know how to describe it. It's a relationship, you know. And he wants all of us to be like that. This is not just for some few people. This is for all of us. Okay, last one. Is that all right? Thank you.
And thank you for that word. And yes, I actually wanted to say exactly that thing that Vanessa shared, which is, you know, I don't know if we really appreciate Spirit FM the way we ought to, because there is going over the airwaves, all kinds of different airwaves, whether it be TV or radio or whatever, is constantly the world's ideas, the world's messages, the world's, and you can, in this city, in this Camel River, you can turn on Spirit FM and you get God's perspective, which is such a blessing. And that's part of the battle, right? The part of the battle is this, you know, the devil is called the, also the prince of the power of the air. And so he's constantly giving us and giving the world this counter message of God's love, God's grace, God's goodness. God is not good. It's keeps saying. And so we need people that feel this calling and are actually proclaiming God's word over the airways in a way that blesses our community. So let's give him another.
Mentioned around that is, you got to understand, if you can understand the times, the mainstream media are the false prophets. So they're prophesying continually the way to think and the lifestyle to the nation, to the listeners, all the time. They're like the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. That's why right now God wants to raise up those who will hear his voice and speak what he has in his heart. And basically, that's what we do in the radio and on the internet and all that.
So he didn't ask me to do this, but I'm just going to say, you know, they need financial support in order to keep being on the air for us. And so if you ever are feeling like, speak to the Lord, ask the Lord. And I believe that we should all be thinking about Spirit FM and giving and making sure they stay on the air in this community. Amen? So God bless you. God bless you. Everybody. We're going to have our service tonight. I want to remind you of that. There's the first of our evening services, which Nancy is now fully equipped to lead. and so come to that. Come and be a part of it. We welcome you to come out. And it will look different than our Sunday morning service, but I think you'll be blessed if you come. So God bless you. It starts at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. and there's worship and all kind and a great worship team that she's built up, and so come on out to that. Let's pray, or let's have Terry pray for us. And if you need prayer, if you want prayer for this, I do want to offer that opportunity. I'm a little worried about time for people, but if you want to walk in this thing, this message I think fits really nicely with what I shared last week about revival and how that all works, because it really starts with what Terry's talking about right now, which is this individual being led by the Spirit. We live our life led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is constantly leading us towards renewal and revival and to this renewing in our own hearts, and then he wants to do it all over the world. So if you need to, you want prayer for this, you maybe you feel like I don't hear very well, I haven't been walking this way, then just come on up and we'll pray with you. But
thank you, Father. Let's stand together and we'll just pray as we close out. And you know, this is not all about church. This is about life. Thank you, Jesus. This is about life. This is about your home, your family, your business, your work, whatever you do. You can ask for the Lord, lead me in any situation. It's about life because you're his. When you're born again, he lives in you. First thing I want to ask, if there's anybody here today, you've not received Christ as your Savior, you need to. Come up and see me. We'll pray with you. Secondly, if there's anyone saying, I don't know if I'm baptized in the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on up. We'll pray with you. And you need to have that pouring through you, the work of the Holy Spirit. So, Father in heaven, we commit ourselves to you. Yes, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. We adore and worship you today. We thank you, Lord. And we've asked and we believe you will lead us. We set our attention on you, Lord, and we're ready to say yes when you prompt us or try to move us, Lord. And we won't be afraid if you do it and we're not clear to ask for more, to ask for clarity, to ask for revelation, Lord. Help us to remember those things to ask. Help us to do it. Lord, we want to pursue this as a relationship with you, not some long distance thing, but really close to your heart, you with us and we with you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.